This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
WEEI Afternoons, and it is 3 p.m. in Boston and really any place in this time zone. And that means it's time for the three-point stance.
319!
180!
318!
318,
Shahad!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up, Shahad?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three!
Easiest 1, 2, 3.
Boston up! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone! A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for the three-point stance. 3 o'clock, three hosts, three different takes on the biggest stories of the day. So it's going to be Andy Hart going first, followed by our good friend Nick Fitzy-Stevens. And then in place of Teddy today, myself and Stanley Stiz Bruno will be entering in a story of our own. We're going to bat last here as part of three-point stance. So if you're unfamiliar with the format, each host gets 60 seconds to present their opening take. And then after everybody goes around the studio and shares their take, we open it up for discussion, debate, and all things like that. Andy Hart, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, 60 seconds starting now.
As you guys all know, I've tried to be a kinder, gentler Andy Hart to start this new year.
Huh?
Yes, I've tried to see the positives in things, not to be so filled with hate. The little ball of hate's been traded to Florida, so too did I trade my hate for goodwill. But I was reminded on Saturday night, I freaking hate LeBron James. That guy is so freaking annoying. And the flopping coming off the heels of him getting in Stephen A. Smith's face at the, was that at the Garden, wherever the hell they were? And I'm just so sick of him. He is literally a ridiculous basketball player. That was also on full display against the Celtics on Saturday night. He made that behind-the-back pass under the hoop. That was one of the best passes I've ever seen. And the guy bungled it. They didn't score, so it didn't end up being a highlight. But LeBron James, the flopping with Tatum, the bitching about every call, the questions, by the way, that have been floating around the internet recently about his supplementation, let's say, as they say in the business, the hit dog might question him on that. Every time I step away and try to just give LeBron his flowers for being one of the all-time greats and being in the conversation with Jordan, I forget. The guy's a colossal dink and I hate him. Dink. Dink. Dink!
I think it was the fourth dink that really just
cemented it.
Like, I know Rich Keith, I'm playing his side of the street, and he really hates LeBron, like, doesn't even give him credit for the title a couple years ago and all that, the sham title in the bubble. But he's just so hateable. Yes, Fitzy.
Yes. What, my turn?
Oh, I don't know. I was waiting for Dan Ball, but he didn't seem like he was ready.
Oh, no, I'm not only listening, but I'm ready. And I also wanted to throw in that it's kind of impressive to watch a dink in LeBron James to pair up with this generation's dink and Luka Doncic and how much the two of them have to say. I know we'll get into more of this later. But that was quite interesting.
Is it a possibility most basketball players are kind of dinks these days? Well, let's put a pin in that. I don't want to take in Fitzy's time, but maybe that's the issue.
Sure.
Maybe I hate basketball
players. Oh, there you go. Nailed it. Let's just, yeah, let's expand the umbrella on this. Okay, Nick Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
Kinder, gentler, loving, yes, absolutely. We are sunshine and ponies here at the old WEEI Afternoon Studios. And Nick Stevens, your time begins now. I was today years old when I was shocked to read that Milton Williams, at $26 million a year, is the first player in Patriots history to make more than $25 million on an average annual value salary. That is wild. I cannot believe the Patriots fell this far back. But then again, everyone always accuses the Patriots of being thrifty. That being said, the New England Patriots on day one prioritized spending and putting money where their previous defensive mouth was, and they put it all towards the defense today. And I am not surprised, and you should not be surprised either, Patriots fans. Mike Vrabel, defensive-minded guy. Terrell Williams, new defensive coordinator coming from Detroit where he had a lot of input, had some of his guys as well. Vrabel has his guys in Tennessee. A lot of them were available. That's the signature and the stamp they want to put on this football team. If they said they want to play downhill, they want to play mean, they want to play nasty, they want to set a tempo in the AFC East and be aggressive, the best way for them to do that was with defense because there was not a lot of offensive talent out there in free agency. Now the real work happens when the Patriots figure out ways to both block for Drake May and get him guys that he can put the ball in the hands of to score points. But defense first, not surprised.
Defense wins championships.
You sound like the Patriots head coach.
Wait, so long as you actually score a point first, which they will, just not a ton.
All right, so for today, my man Stiz is jumping in with a story to wrap up our opening takes here for our three-point stance. Mr. Bruno, are you ready?
I am ready, Dan.
All right, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, I want to start off my three-point stance with this sound.
See, I would also say New England should be at least having the Ronnie Stanley conversation. You go out in the first week and you give Drake May a left tackle and a number one wide receiver, now we're cooking.
That was Daniel Jeremiah last week, okay? Now, I am relatively new to sports. I came down here from WAAF to WEEI a few years ago.
What happened?
Long story. Anyway, I've seen this with the Red Sox recently. Oh, Juan Soto. We're going to get Juan Soto, Blake Snell, Corbin Burns. And now for the past 2 weeks, I've seen it with the Patriots. Oh, we're all in. Pats are all in on DK Metcalf, Ronnie Stanley, Chris Godwin. And it never happens. All these big names that you guys tease me with, we never get. And it just breaks my heart time after time.
I got a term for you, Stiz, that you can use in your sports vernacular so you can win arguments with your friends.
Please.
The term that Red Sox fans know very well but may extend to the other teams that you watch, the interest kings. Are you arguing that teams beside the Red Sox are interest kings?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. In fact, maybe the Patriots are now the new ones after this fiasco.
Wow. I think the plane landed. Most of the passengers are being evacuated via the emergency ramps.
It's the slide. You get to put it on the slide.
The nose is actually, it's not on fire, but it's smoking. But I think everyone's going to make it alive.
Okay, so generally when we do the three-point stance, we then sort of open up the floor in order for each of the stances. Fitzy, if it's okay with you, I'd like for you and I to cede the floor. I want to have a discussion with Stiz about his point, because I loved his point, but This is good to me. So he just said fiasco, correct? After this fiasco, the Patriots are the interest kings.
It's a fiasco at 3:05 p.m.
And not only, Fitzy, your stance was that they just paid the first player in the history of the franchise more than $25 million. They got a $100 million free agent, and this guy, Stiz, is not happy about it because, like me, this is where I come to Stiz's side, he doesn't play offense or left tackle or score points, and we thought he'd be like the second or third best player, but they actually got a player. Stiz, that's just what I want to lay out there
number
before.
Number one free agent overall. They got the number one free agent.
I don't know about that. There were some lists that had
the
him
number
as
one
low
available.
As like 25. Oh, yeah, because the first 25 went and he was 26.
And I'm sorry, but
as of today, Stiz, when free agency began at 12 o'clock, the number one player available was Milton Williams. After some of the other guys got re-signed, went home, took their money, et cetera, and did not want to come to Foxborough or just wanted to stay home. They got the number one guy. You now officially, I'm not sure if I want to call it entitled town syndrome or if you're just a Foxborough front runner, but you right here, young man, are the byproduct of all of the success in this, the greatest sports city on earth over the last two plus decades. And as someone who has basked in it, developed a reputation for positive and negative effects because of it, etc., I can tell you, you are suffering from entitled town syndrome, Stiz, and you need to come back to reality because it ain't always like the way it used to be.
Well, it's just so funny for the past week or two when we were talking about all these names that the Patriots could get. It's just funny. I don't remember hearing Milton Williams would be great for the Patriots.
Then you don't listen, just like everyone else.
I honestly don't think Milton Williams was mentioned.
He's been mentioned, but he's been down the list because, quite honestly, he's a defensive tackle. He's not a pass rusher on defense. He's not a corner, and he doesn't play offense, doesn't play wide receiver, not a number one receiver or number one left tackle. He was in the conversation. A lot of people coming out of the combine thought they would pursue him and have some interest in him, and they did, clearly. And Peter Schrager tweeted out, like, this also disrupts the narrative that no one wants to go to New England because they had competition for Milton Williams, a high-end free agent, and they got him. But to back you up, Stiz, I do want to share with you a text I got from my son at 1:12 p.m. So I don't know exactly where that falls in the signings and things were going on.
That was pre-Milton, I know that.
Yeah, definitely pre-Milton
Williams.
Just before
things started turning in our direction.
So yes. I get a text, and the first text, the first bubble is another year. And I'm like, was that supposed to be to me? Was that, you going to finish this text? What the hell does another year mean? Next bubble pops up. Another disappointing Pats free agency.
That's right.
So that was definitely the reaction. And I think, Stiz, so is your issue more with the teams for not following through or not at, or is it with the coverage, the media, the talk of we're going to get this guy, we're going to get that guy? Like, where is your...
Well, I guess I don't know because I don't know. No, but seriously, like, when I hear these people, Mad Dog, oh, the Red Sox are in on Juan Soto, I don't know how true that is, right?
Yeah, but they were. You know, only one team, there's 30 or 32, depending on the league, whatever. There's only one team that can land the player, and when it's a player that good, there's going to be at least a half dozen involved, you know, with a guy not quite as much money. More teams than that. Only one can win.
I want my teams to put their money where their mouth is, and I'll admit, I like shiny objects.
Oh, we all do. And that's part of why this gets us all fixated on shiny objects as we build up to drafts and free agencies and, you know, winter meetings for the Red Sox and things of that nature. But just to go back to Soto, for example, David Ortiz said on Bradfoe's podcast that he thought for a period of time they were getting Juan Soto. He legitimately, now, he works for the team and he's a mouthpiece and he's a legend and he's all these things and all of that.
Allegedly, Soto did take less money to go to the Mets. That was a report that came out this weekend.
So you...
Less money.
That's what he said.
Less than what, God? I mean, for crying out loud.
$700 million. What a hometown.
Yeah, I feel
what a guy,
for him.
Guys.
Yeah, he really showed what matters to him. It's not money at all, not at the least. But I do think this is worth talking about because there have been a lot of comparisons to the pre-Crochet Bregman Red Sox and the current Patriots. Like, oh, they're going to have the most free agency dollars to spend for the second year in a row. But I would also remind you, Stiz, wasn't that long ago the flurry of movement in 2021 when you got Matthew Judon, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, like you went down a litany, Devon Godshaw, a litany of free agent signings. Or I'll even go back further, 2007. The Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth, like they, Adalys Thomas. So sometimes it kind of ebbs and flows. You can't do it every year, and sometimes it kind of ebbs and flows.
Just to add in something real quick before we move on to the next story, I also feel like there's a difference in perception between what fans think is an obvious move for these teams to make and spend money on, and what they end up doing. Where aside, like the Red Sox spending money on Trevor Story, yes, that's paying for a player that can't fit somewhere in your lineup, but you had a shortstop already. And you talked about it today. I don't remember which move specifically it was that's going to get Juwan Bentley cut, but there was a move that's already doubling down on something you have. So it seems like there's just when it comes to the interest kings. It's interest in guys that seem to make all the sense in the world. That was the Bregman argument this entire time, and credit to the Red Sox because they did something about it, but it's a guy that shores up your defense. It's a leader in the locker room. All the stuff that we touted this entire time. But for the longest time, it feels like you want to shake these teams, respectively, because they're just not making the obvious move in front of your nose to help where you really need it, and that's the case with the Patriots offense.
Obvious and very specific. That's
yeah,
the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bregman move was they need to get better on the right side, right-handed bat. And they actually let Tyler O'Neill go. They lose power, and you're sitting there and like, Wait, there's a very specific need that went unfilled, and then they filled it. Okay, I would say this is similar with left tackle. The left tackle spot is a very specific, 100% of us agree they need to fill the left tackle role. And the opportunities to fill the left tackle role are running out. And I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, Fitzy, I don't see their Bregman still out there. Like, they don't have this perfect left tackle that they can go get that's going to make us all forget that we had angst for the left tackle position. Do they? Cam Robinson? Wait, like, I don't think that's going to do it. So I don't know how they land this plane, quite honestly, in terms of fulfilling the predictions and hopes of people for the left tackle spot.
Nobody even knows who the left tackle of the future is going to be. You can't
future?
Say,
what about the present?
That's what. Well, I mean, well, luckily they don't have to play anybody today, but... when I say the future, I mean starting this fall. Like, I can't tell you right now. If they were to even put together a depth chart, I bet you they would just put a giant question mark or write draft. Like, there is no starting caliber left tackle on this team right now. I refuse to accept Vidarian Lowe. I refuse to accept Tyrone Wheatley Jr. or whoever the hell else. No. There's no left tackle right now on this team.
Or many out there on the open market, and that might be the problem. Okay. So now I'm up. I got to defend that I hate LeBron. Who wants to question that I hate LeBron? Let's bring it. Bring it. Who's the LeBron guy in the room? Who thinks I'm being mean to LeBron and LeBron doesn't want to be the face of the league because people like me will make fun of him and then we'll make fun of him when he defends his son, which is admirable in one sense because he's the father of the nepotism that got his son in the NBA and now the kid is in the NBA and should be an adult and should be able to stand on his own 2 feet. Who wants to defend LeBron? Go ahead. Why should I not hate him?
I don't think anyone is talking.
Silence.
Nobody
is
can.
Damning.
Silence gives consent. You know the old expression.
Damn.
Nobody in this room is going to defend LeBron's antics. In fact, if there's one thing that's going to keep people from ever embracing LeBron his talent is top five all time, to the best of our knowledge, and I don't think that's arguable. But the reason why he's going to be kept out of the top five NBA player of all time discussion is because of LeBron James. His antics, the histrionics, the nonsense. Dude, that flop on Saturday night on the non-elbow as Tatum went to go drive baseline where it didn't even come within 2 inches of his face and the way that he threw himself back a full second later on the floor and acted like he had just been shot was as embarrassing an on-court display of floppitude and clownery as I have ever seen. And I've been watching sports an awful long time. I respect LeBron's talent. I think he is unbelievable, and I even find myself rooting for him.
What?
When he captains the USA. I'm not done yet. I find myself rooting for him on the USA Olympic team. Not in the NBA, but when he's on the Olympics. But now even I'd have a hard time getting behind him because he's acting like such a buffoon.
I don't root for LeBron on the court, off the court. I don't root for him in interviews. I find him to be one of the most self-centered egomaniacs that's ever walked the planet. He finds things to bitch about. He's been the golden boy from day one. From 16 year old, he was the chosen one. And he finds ways to bitch about a life that is damn near perfection. So I am not going to ever root for him in anything in life.
Dang.
But
yeah, I'm just not.
MAGA heart hates LeBron.
But I mean, you can also understand the greatness that you're watching when you're watching him.
Oh, sure.
Yes?
Oh, sure.
And
the great flopping. Fitzy's right. It reminded me of these videos that make the rounds on Twitter every once in a while that are from WWE. And they say, like, I can't believe I ever thought this crap was real. And they're like really bad screw ups where like Hogan does the big boot. And yet the big boot is a foot and a half or 2 feet shy of the guy he's supposedly kicking in the face before he does a leg drop on him. That's what LeBron's flop was like. And he turns my stomach. 617-779-7937. Oh, sorry. You need better hand gestures back there. You're the worst.
That was my fault.
You're the worst air traffic controller ever. You spun both arms around, pointed down, pointed at me. It was like, do I go to break? Do I land a plane? Like, what am I doing here? Fitzy, let's go to yours. So you are not in any way surprised or disappointed that the offensive side of the ball is a mere afterthought in New England.
No, my expectations were immediately recalibrated, like I believe everyone's were, sometime around 4:45 on Saturday afternoon when news broke that Ronnie Stanley decided to issue the bigger paycheck and move up to New England and take a very affordable now by market value and standard with the inflated salary cap, 3-year, $60 million deal with the Patriots. That would have been the number, that would have changed the entire outlook. That would the whole roadmap to how the Patriots handled free agency would have been altered if Ronnie Stanley was available. That affects your draft. That affects how you spend the rest of your money starting Monday at noontime. So once Ronnie Stanley was unavailable, it just seemed to make sense to go after the best players available that you were familiar with, that you believe fit your system and improve the side of the ball that you can improve quickest and in the best capacity possible. So getting a top three cornerback, great. Getting the top defensive tackle available, great. Getting one of the top linebackers, a football guy who's a tackling machine, spill, as the hoister lets us know. These are smart moves for the Patriots. Getting a guy that's a high character dude, BC graduate, local guy, Vrabro, and Harold Landry. The defense is going to be the side of the ball we don't have. It's going to be plug and play, set it and forget it. That's crockpot football right over there. Now we can turn our attention to the offense and hopefully trades getting swung and drafting more for offense than defense. But the fact that they went defense first does not surprise me. That's where the most talent was available.
Yeah, I mean, it might be where the most talent's available. You're right. It certainly was not where the most needs are. And I think people are forgetting. There's a lot of references to the Super Bowl. Oh, we all saw the Super Bowl and how that defensive front for the Eagles dominated the game. You know what also was pretty good? The Eagles offense scored some points. And, you know, if you're a Patriots team and you think you're following some sort of Philadelphia model to building your team, we're going to be really good on defense. Okay, where's your A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, Lane Johnson? Like, you're missing so many of the pieces that made that such a great Super Bowl team. So I guess in a sense I'm glad they didn't just throw stupid money at bad players. Yes. Like, if they just gave Cam Robinson $100 million because he's on the market, or they gave Dan Moore got $20 million. I'm not going to lie to you.
What is he doing getting $82 million? And I'd rather have somebody who lost both arms to a shark than Cam Robinson at left tackle.
Yeah, so I guess there is a silver lining that they're not wasting money. They're buying productive players on the open market.
Is there a bad signing yet? Is there one that you're like, holy smokes, that's
terrible? Landry's waste of money, personally. But
I think he's a good football player. It's too much money. He should have gotten like 3 for 33, not 3 for 44.
It's too much money for a guy who I think his best games are long behind him and isn't worth the investment. And you probably could have spent more effectively elsewhere. But he can play football. My guess is if he's healthy, he'll start all 17 games and be out on the field, and he'll get you 7 sacks, maybe somewhere in there, which for this team is an upgrade. So no, Fitzy, I don't think there's an actual bad signing. Even the Morgan Moses, hell, even if he retires, if he decides he's old and got a bum knee and doesn't want to play anymore, you didn't give him like $100 million and you won't be on the hook for anything. So no, I guess that's right. There's no horrific signing yet, and I guess that's the silver lining.
Yeah, and a friend who's listening on the Odyssey app now down in Tampa just sends a text to me saying, 4 of the 7 highest-rated Patriots guys in Madden, brand new to the team within the last 3 hours. Woody Johnson and all of the children of the Jets must be in emotional shambles right now.
Also,
they're making good picks. Like, these are not sexy. There is nothing here that's going to as I've talked about this many times, Andy, and yes, I know we have to go to break, but many times I've talked about sign somebody, find somebody, draft somebody, get somebody that sends the kids to the YouTube machine for the highlights and sends the grown-ups to the pro shop to get themselves and the family outfitted in that guy's jersey. That hasn't happened yet.
Nope.
It will happen eventually. Mark my words, by the end of the draft. It will. You had one last year. We got Mays, or at least, well, damn it, nobody bought May jerseys because they slapped May on the back of their freaking Jones jersey because jerseys are expensive.
In this That'll economy, change, that's smart.
Especially if they get Travis Hunter at 4.
WEEI Afternoon. So that was the 3-point stance, a little bit of a hybrid edition with Stiz, the super fan, joining in the fun to represent the streets of Boston, as he loves to do on our show. Up next, on WEEI Afternoons. Mike Giardi joins us for his bumped hit from Friday afternoon when Brad Marchand trade went down and was all hockey talk. He is going to tell us why Milton Williams is awesome, and we'll see how optimistic he is that the offense in New England can be figured out by the time the draft is done. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But now we have the main man, Dan Ball.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All with what's trending. There's such a thing as sad trombones. Those seem like uncertain trumpets in my mind. It was like, they're kind of upbeat, but not upbeat.
Now, I sort of saw that as like Mike Giardi's luchador entrance music.
Oh, speaking of Mike Giardi, he's joining us on the phones here on WEEI Afternoons, and that means the best open for a phone hit in the radio biz.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEE.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, joining us. Sorry, Michael, that we had to temporarily bump you from Friday, your usual slot, due to the Brad Marchand trade. But all hell is breaking loose in the National Football League, so it's a great day to have you. Just give me, I guess, your AI, what do they call that? The AI summary at the top of a page now. Give me your
TLDR.
Give me your AI summary of what the hell's been going on with the Patriots. A lot of moves on the defensive side of the ball, which seems to make that side of the ball better, but also Drake May seems to not have a whole hell of a lot more support, and we thought that might be coming.
I mean, not bad, really, when you consider the way the day started and even before this, you know, like the last week or so, and in particular yesterday when every freaking name seemed to be flying off the board. It's like, oh, there goes another. And he's not going to be there. And you're like, this is what happens now. As I tried to warn you guys in terms of like the free agency thing. It's just not what it used to be. And so many of these guys end up not getting here. And teams have money now, or they have better ideas of how to work their cap and use void years and all those sorts of things. But to be able to rebound from what appeared to be Milton Williams signing with Carolina and to be able to steal him back, I think was massive. Because I like Spillane, I like Carlton Davis. I have some questions about Harold Landry, but like all of a sudden you put Milton Williams in that group, and that was one of the guys that was at the very top of their board, like gotta have him, and they got him, and to do it the way they did it, I think was huge. I think it just sends a message to the guys on the team. I think it sends a message to the fan base. Like, we told you we're going to be aggressive, and we're doing that. We're trying to fulfill the promise that we made to you, and it actually, you know, in this case especially, it worked out.
So, Mike, I know you were in on and had been talking up the Chris Godwin to New England angle for a while, exactly how much it may cost, what the expectations should be. You know, it doesn't surprise me that they went defense or prioritized defense first, because I feel like between those two kind of shallow wells in this free agency offseason, that was where the better talent was. But Godwin looked to be their offensive prize, and he stays in Tampa. Do you know exactly how much the Patriots offered or how badly they tried to get him to leave Tampa for Foxborough?
I don't know what the offer was. I do believe they were willing to go higher than that. And this is, again, the problem. Like, it's like, oh, well, he did kind of get out there. I mean, yeah, there are back room and back channeling and all those sorts of things. But the guy is comfortable in Tampa. He likes playing with Baker. He likes playing for Todd Bowles. You know, he likes playing alongside Mike Evans. He's familiar with the medical staff who, you know, obviously playing a big role in his recovery for a second time in 4 years. So, you know, that was always going to be the hard part of this. He liked Tampa. So, you know, something was going to have to go really wrong there for him to actually be out there and shopping himself to the full extent. So I just think it was going to be a difficult thing. You know, they can signal how much they want him and what they're willing to pay him. But I think he's really comfortable there in Tampa, and I think that really is why you're seeing the reports of from whoever he's taking $20 million less to stay there.
Mike, a two-part John Dennis-style question here for me. In response to what I think are the two best signings, and that's Milton Williams and Carlton Davis, really good players. The Robert Spillane would be the second one. Milton Williams, does that say anything about Christian Barmore? Do they envision a two-headed beast on the inside, or are they worried they're not going to have Christian Barmore? And then for Robert Spillane, does that mean anything for Juwan Bentley? Is there a chance he's not a Patriot for very long?
I think they'll start with the latter one first. I think there's a clear change in direction we've talked about in terms of like being four down front, being a more penetrating one-gap team versus the two-gap that you know we've been familiar with for the last 20-something years and drove guys like Richard Seymour absolutely bananas. Can you just let me go get the quarterback? Obviously, it worked. They won rings. But that sort of signals that change. And if you look at Vrabel's past history, you know, David Long is a guy that I'll bring up all the time. He's 5'10", 220, played in the middle of that defense. Like, he wants speed. He wants sideline to sideline. Spillane is that. You know, like, I think Jamin Sherwood was ahead of Spillane on their wish list. But when Sherwood stayed in New York yesterday, you know, before he even got to free agency again, this was the obvious pivot, and it's a good pivot. He's a good football player. And past history, you know, Vrabel signed him in Tennessee, so that's where he started his career, and he played under Josh McDaniels for a year in Vegas, so they definitely have plenty of familiarity and know what kind of kid he is, and by all accounts, and I think Brian Hoyer retweeted what I had tweeted out about Spillane. It was like one of my favorite teammates, like just the dude plays with his hair on fire, and he's been healthy the last 2 years. 158 tackles, 148. Like, that's some elite production from there. So I do think that, you know, unless they want to kick Bentley to a, you know, strong side linebacker type, that could very well be, you know, a sign of things to come for him or Jelani Tavai or both. And then in terms of Williams, look, I think they signaled it again at the combine. Like, I don't think they know about Barmore. Like, he's working out. Okay, good. He hasn't played football yet, you know, and you know, the blood clot thing was unexpected, obviously, and there was no real way to, you couldn't make up for the loss of a guy that you just signed to a massive contract extension last year because it happened, you know, end of July, beginning of August, get him back for four games and then for him to have it again. Like, yeah, I think that's a massive question. I don't know that you can definitively say, write his name in pen. Like that, I don't know that you can do that. But I don't think Milton Williams still was on their board regardless. Because, to the point of, I think coming out of the combine, most people thought that he was actually the best player in this class. Like, you know, in terms of the potential upside, the age, the whole thing, like, he's going to be the guy that's going to get paid. And if he continues on his career track, you're going to get a Pro Bowl caliber player there. So I think he was always a part of what they wanted to do. But now it does give them extra insurance, if you will. You know, last year you had to play Akawali 60% of the snaps and Eric Johnson and Roy and all these guys, like, you know, they were signing off the street. And now, you know, can have a better plan. I'm sure they'll probably take one in the draft at some point as well because it's such a good class for defensive line. So you give yourself a little bit more options there and the ability to sort of protect yourself in case, you know, something happens with Barmore.
Jaqueline Roy, there's a name I have not heard in some time. Yeah, those are some of those guys that were the rotational pieces used out of desperation last year on the line, Mike. You know, my big concern is good first day in defense, obviously not enough offense. How do you think they handle the offensive line going forward? There's some talent left at guard. There's nothing left at offensive tackle. And, you know, if we spend five more minutes arguing over the length of Will Campbell's arms or his wingspan on here, somebody's going to slap a lawsuit on us here at the station. So look, it's unbelievable. So looking at all that, how would you expect the Patriots to tackle offense and offensive line the rest of this free agency and how that could affect their draft plans?
Well, I mean, you're seeing the wide receiver prices are stupid. You know, Dyami Brown just signed for, I think, 1 year, $12 million. So I'm thinking if I'm Slayton, my price is probably $15 or $16 million a year now. Like, you know, Palmer signed for 3 and 36 in Buffalo. I didn't see the guaranteed numbers, but again, that's a pretty healthy chunk of change. So that price went up a little bit over there. The question is, you know, how do you feel about Tet? Would you want Tet at 4? Would you want to try to trade back and get Tet? Do you feel comfortable with some of the other options in the draft? You know, Steph Diggs is out there, but again, that's a half year thing because he had the knee surgery in October, I think. Brandon Ayuk, I think, would be a conversation to revisit. Same situation, though. You know, he got hurt in late October, so, you know, he'll be probably back before the start of October. But when's he got back to being, you know, one of the most dynamic route runners in the NFL? Is that next year, or are you doing that for a year later? So it's not going to be easy with regard to wide receiver. It's not going to be easy with regard to tackle. But at least the way I look at it now is, depending on what happens at center with David Andrews, I mean, you know, there's some internet rumblings. And of course, when we came out of the combine, it was one of the things, the conversations that we had was like, oh, they seem to be in the market for a center. But if they can stabilize that from right tackle through left guard, and then you're only having to worry about one position on the offensive line versus three, sometimes four last year, like, it's not perfect, but Josh can work around that a hell of a lot better than Alex would be able to work around the debacle that was last year when, you know, DeMontre Jacobs, poor kid's having to play the King games as a starting right tackle and had no business doing that. Ben Brown signed off the street, you know, your revolving door at left guard. Michael Jordan, you know, starts over here for all those games and then ends up getting cut. Like, they can't live that way. If you have more stability there, I think it just makes it much easier to sort of craft an offense.
Mike, I don't know if you heard, but our own Greg Hill this morning reported that his sources tell him that if Travis Hunter's there at 4, the Patriots would pounce. And I know there's some people reacting to the Carlton Davis signing like, oh, does that affect that? Do they see Travis Hunter as a wide receiver? Is he a number one wide receiver? Any thoughts on what they've done today and maybe how that would impact the way they view Travis Hunter?
I mean, I think you signed Carlton Davis, he's not a nickel corner. So unless you wanted to play Travis Hunter inside, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, it would seem that, were Greg correct with his information, and I'm not doubting it by any stretch of the imagination, then it would seem to me that they'd view him as a wide receiver. And look, you talk to a lot of people in Indy who are like, he's the number one wide receiver on the board, you know, higher than Ted, higher than some of these other guys. And considering the fact that he hasn't actually been coached to play wide receiver, you know, he spent most of his practice time on defense, you know, meetings in defensive rooms. He just didn't have the time. And they would just tell him what to do when he got out on the field on offense. Like, that's pretty appealing because his ball skills are phenomenal. You know, he's a 4-4-ish guy, like, great body control. Like, what could he be in a year or two, you know, with some real coaching, with that sort of athleticism? So if that's the case, I mean, that would be appealing for sure.
He is Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Appreciate you joining us on a Monday. Usually you're our Friday afternoon guest. And let you get back to your writing. I'm sure Greg is whipping you a little bit, telling you to get more blogs up, more analysis up. So I'll let you get back to it, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
I stepped outside for the first time all day today, so I just saw the sunlight. It's a beautiful day. It's not a great day to be inside, you know, glued to your phone and your TV and all that stuff. But
get that fresh air for you, Giardi.
This is the business we have chosen, Michael. You know that.
so true.
See you, Mike.
See you, Mike.
See you, guys.
That was Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, back here on WEEI Afternoons. When up next, we're going to break down a couple of the little nuggets that Mike Giardi dropped for us as we all continue to parse our way through Patriots free agent signings. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. Mikey likes it. Mikey actually likes it. I thought Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, might be a little cranky because, well, let's be honest, pretty much every time we talk to him, he's a little bit cranky. He and Andy Hart get along for a reason. We share some personality traits. But Fitzy, he was pretty optimistic, I thought, about the early results of free agency. So, you know what life is all about, Fitzy, right? Balance.
Right? Oh, yes.
Got to balance everything out. So, therefore, we'll go back to the phone lines because I see this subject line and I just have to read it. So I go to Mike and Walden in Malden, excuse me, because it says the Patriots will be bad. Mike, apparently you don't like the early part of free agency.
Listen, I can't wait for 25 runs a game with Fumblesaurus Rex and a bunch of dink and dunks to struggle to schedule score 17 points a game. Like, if you know what the thing is, it's like You need everything on offense. And the challenge I have, right, is like as much as they need an offensive line, it doesn't really matter if you can protect the quarterback if nobody can get separation and get open. Then what does it matter? Then who cares? Like, can you get a receiver? Can you get something? Someone that can get any kind of separation? This is just going to be a boring football team. And like, yeah, you're not going to be the Redskins. You're not going to turn it around in 1 year. But can you add a little something to this team?
Thanks for the call, Mike. So back-to-back Mikes. Mike Giardi, very positive. And Mike from Malden, I'd say very negative. Yes, it is.
But they've been interested on everybody, though, right?
Yeah, they're always interested. And they got plenty of money to spend, too. And the owner wants to spend. And the owner's ready to spend. That's Stiz, you're 100% right. But that's two pretty funny back-to-back mics with very different views of the early. And I think, Fitzy, you are more Mike Giardi.
Yes.
And I think I'm a little bit more Mike and Malden.
Good. That gives us opposing dynamics to be able to create a new one on the radio show then. You cannot argue that the Patriots have been thrifty, cheap, or not spent money thus far today because they've handed out a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, they're spending.
Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent today, which is a good thing. And they have shored up one side of the football right now is markedly, dramatically, significantly better than it was just 4 hours ago.
Stiz tells me $165 million. It sounds low even. That is definitely low.
That's the guaranteed amount of money. The contracts themselves will get into the hundreds of millions. But the guaranteed money right now is enough to produce a really crappy Marvel movie. So that's a lot of money.
Or maybe pay Josh Allen at least his guarantees on his contract.
Yes, on his extension.
Yes.
Well, I mean, look, we may have Josh Allen 2.0. We may have the next thing at quarterback in the NFL already. That's why a lot of people like Mike and Malden or the Mike and Malden side of Andy Hart believe the Patriots haven't done enough yet offensively. The problem is, show me what you would have done. Tell me who you would have gotten.
DK Metcalf.
Would you be happier with DK Metcalf today? Probably. I think DK Metcalf still would have been it would have been a chance worth taking. Sure. I would have. It's a very expensive chance to take, and it's a weird one in Pittsburgh for sure. I don't know why the Patriots aren't as high on him as they are some other receivers. I think they thought they were going to be able to entice Godwin with bags of cash. It didn't work as of yet because nothing's legal till Wednesday, but looks like it's not going to work for them, which is a shame. But did you want Dan Moore for $82 million? I'd never even heard the friggin' guy's name until like 3 weeks ago, so I can't pretend I knew much about his game or any of the other left tackles available on the hobo market.
617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons, reacting to a big day in Patriot Nation. We have a lot of mics today. Mike Giardi likes what they're doing. Mike and Malden didn't. And we have another mic lined up on the phone lines. We see the rest of you lined up. We'll take your calls, continue to react to the Patriots' many moves and many dollars spent here on WEEI Afternoons.